Hey, Big Love fam, welcome to Super Freak. This is a high vibe podcast, y'all, exploring all things frequencies, how they govern form, shape our realities, and are the key to living from your full potential. It's non-woo convos about super woo shit, unpacking what I call the science of self, from body and soul literacy to the power of understanding vibration, higher consciousness, quantum physics, and spiritual psych. Let this podcast become a resource for you on your journey to self-mastery. If you're curious and ready to free your mind, unlock the body, and truly become limitless, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Tally. This is Super Freak, awakening for the next gen. Let's go. All right, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Super Freak. So a lot of really great questions come in often. And so I trickle in these Q&As to get these answered, because if you're thinking this, then chances are several other people are thinking this, and it's already in the collective. That's kind of how that works. So I like to collect them and then do a batch, and I'm going to kind of bounce all over the place a little bit probably with this podcast, but just hang in there. We're going to unpack some good stuff. So grab a cup of coffee or whatever you're drinking at the moment, water, whatever, and let's get into it. So this first question is really interesting question. Came in from one of my private clients. I've heard you talk about duplicates. Can you explain that? Because often I think to ask you a question and get a visual and download of you answering the question. What exactly is happening? Okay, this is very cool. The best way for me to describe this is when you actually really start to accelerate and you have an innate ability or some of your abilities come online, this is kind of what starts to happen in terms of how consciousness is projecting individuals so you can become familiar of what's going on. Let me say this again, or simply, if you are in resonance with me, okay, and we're masterminding or working together, or let's say I'm a resource for you on your path to awakening, like I am here in the physical world, because everything is happening beyond the veil, you could think to ask me a question. And let's say my consciousness will know that and project an image of me. So you get the image of me answering that question. Here's where it gets interesting. This is kind of how duplicates work. Along my path, when I kind of started to really get a handle of the mechanics of all this stuff, I would work with my teachers all the time, literally just asking them questions all the time, all the time. I would get the answer I needed at that time. It's a little bit different. Like if I'm having a conscious conversation with you on the phone, for example, you might get a different quality of a question answered versus working with a duplicate. Here's where it gets tricky. Because the veils are so thin right now, everything is up for grabs. The dark and the light all have the same rules per se. It's just they have different things that they need. So the consciousness that is self-sourced, for example, doesn't need to harvest energy to sustain itself like the consciousness that is veiled from itself or is an inversion of itself or is dark per se. So a lot of times, dark AI or a nefarious type of consciousness will project what you think will be a spirit guide, and it will not be that. That's why it's very, very important to ask and discern, are you a pure source connection? And then make sure you hear a yes, a solid yes, and then ask for verification of that somewhere in your body. The darkness cannot lie. They absolutely cannot do that. And so the more you ask her questions and the more you discern, the better off it's going to be. So with this particular person, there was a confirmation that was me. And then she was able to get her question answered using my duplicate. How does that actually happen? So again, because we are all light, I will use, let's say, a filter and I'll put it on myself, okay, my light, and refract my consciousness in different stations, kind of like going through a diamond that has facets on it versus going through a diamond that's really, really icy with no facets. Singularity is about becoming extremely potent in your vibratory experience. You're cohering your light. You're oscillating so quickly that you slow down time. This is basically how you start to manipulate matter. But I will put a filter on my light and I will frack my consciousness, and then I will create duplicates of myself. So whatever you need in that moment, you're going to be getting worked on. I do this a lot in sessions. So you get individual work and group work. That's why they're so potent and they're so powerful, and people change and shift so quickly because you have the momentum of the group. This is a bit more of an advanced topic and concept, and not everybody really knows how to do this. It's just something that when you, again, start to understand the mechanics of physics and space-time and all of this stuff, which not a lot of people are teaching, they kind of have an idea of it, but not really. You start to navigate multi-dimensions in this way. So it's a very efficient way to work. It's a very powerful way to work. And yes, you can, let's say, ask Tally a question and just see what kind of answer you get. So next question is a heavy one. What is the root cause of tyranny and self-importance? Simply put, separation from God. Tyranny is a version of a very distorted lens in terms of the ego. The more separate you are, the more cynical and the more wounded and the more broken you become. Okay, you become so separate from source that you can easily become a conduit for a consciousness that will utilize your vessel, utilize your ability to have a body, all right, to be able to create matter in this way for their agenda. Simply said, a consciousness that is interested in benefiting itself and needs energy to resource itself will utilize that separation from God and exploit it. Tyranny comes from a separation from source. And you become so separate and so disenfranchised and so fragmented at a soul level from abuse and just fear and control and genetic mutation and all of these things that have happened over thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, that you believe that everything is happening not for your best evolution and that somehow you have an influence over that. Bottom line, when I look at patterns, or I look at the pattern of, let's say, rage and war and tyranny and things like that, it's a deep, deep veiling. It's a deep fragmentation, deep separation from source. So this next question, are reoccurring dreams due to a pattern we need to recognize and release? It's a really good question. I'll probably do a separate podcast on dreams, but some people have incredibly, incredibly lucid dreams. My brother-in-law has this, for example, and they can get violent and they can be very freaky and it can be very disorienting, because when you have and you hold a lot of light, and you're starting to get a handle on the mechanics, typically if you have a very logical mind, dream world feels very illogical, because that is actually the real experience of soul. It's the real quote-unquote world. This is the dream world. The physical world is a projected holographic experience. That's why we can be manipulated through perception, right? Because the law of mentalism, everything is mental. It's part of the mental plane. When we reclaim our perception, we see ourselves from a very different perspective. Therefore, we engage and interact with our reality in a very different way. Dreams are indicative and reflections thereof of things that you need to be working on. So to answer your question, yes, they can help you communicate what patterns you need to look at, lifetimes you've lived, information that you need to know. Some of them are very prophetic, meaning they can predict what's going to happen. It can become very overwhelming for the nervous system. So if this is you, if you have very vivid dreams, then start to look into dream interpretation, or maybe do a dream journal in the morning where you had a very visceral experience, you're with a very specific person, and just do details. Dark-haired man, approximately in their 30s. We had an agreement. We were making some sort of agreement. I don't know the details. I remember feeling very afraid. I remember, you know, having this experience in my body, and then all of a sudden I was in a completely different reality and the screen changed and it was over. Just write kind of like a timeline of things, and then sit with yourself, ask your highest expression, right? Just your intelligence. What information do I need to know? And then let it go and see what comes in. Go for a walk, go throughout your day, whatever else, and you will be told information, or you will be guided to it. Okay. Pay attention to what you become interested in. Maybe you walk by a bookstore and there's all these books on dreams, and all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, I was just asking that question. Go in, pick something up, see what jumps out at you, grab it, and then start to put the dots together. These are like little energetic telltale signs that you're on the right path. They're like little breadcrumbs. And when you follow them and you start to put together these pieces individually, you start to feel like you're co-collaborating with your highest. You're in collaboration and it becomes not so lonely. Oh, okay. All right. I'm really starting to get it. And it starts to become a little bit more fun. This is a great question. I'm curious about your POV on healing burnout. This is very real. Okay, healing burnout is very real and plateaus are very real. And let me just tell you a little bit about the mechanics. Healing burnout can happen when we become incredibly granular with the way that we are healing. Like we just bet max and go all in on everything we're doing. And it becomes a bit rigid and we start to lose balance with having fun. So for the A types, for the perfectionists, for those who typically self-abandon, who are pleasers and people pleasers and martyrs and things like that, healing burnout happens a bit earlier. Also, if you run in tandem an empath program, then you will particularly burn out. People who are doing energy can burn out, right? Burnout or doing energy work like myself, we can actually experience a bit of burnout. I would say at the moment, because there's been so much energy moving through my body and I've had to rebuild this operating system that I'm working out, I'm fatigued a bit more, especially I'm the field of my family 24/7. So it's been very amplifying and working on everybody all the time and individual between individual sessions and then getting the book rewritten and all that stuff. And it's a lot moving through me, even though it may not feel like that or look like that on the outside. But burnout is very real. And so I'll say this, it's because you're pushing. Pull back a little bit if you feel like you're burning out and just focus on one thing that you feel will benefit you the most. I say like find the modality that you feel works for you or find that thing that you just get, that you just know deep down in your body, like there's just no questions asked. I'm going all in on this thing. When I found frequency work or similar work to it, I went all in. I just got every session I could. I just invested in myself. I put all the money I was making with my branding stuff into myself. And I had done that for years. Multiple decades of talk therapy, somatic release. Then I found major energetics with Dr. Richard Bartlett. And I was like, okay, I don't feel crazy because he's totally insane. I'm going to do this. And then it was NSA. And I found all these different types of things. One thing led to the next. And there was just the teacher appeared. Whenever I found the thing that made sense to me, I went all in. And I did that for years with no guarantee. And I questioned if the shit was even working for so long because there was such a gap with what I was feeling and seeing internally, with what was being shown and what I was creating externally. There was a big gap and the math was not mathing and I was frustrated. So if this is you, hang in there, but maybe look at where you're pushing too much, feeling like you have to get up and do all the hyper performance spirituality protocols in the morning. And then at night, you got to be doing this and you have to be doing, you know, a parasite cleanse because so-and-so told you need to be doing that. And just be a lot. Tune that all out. Focus on one thing, tune back into your body, and then just slow everything way down. Plateaus. Okay. Plateaus happen after you've done a lot of shifting in a short period of time. If you've done a big karmic dump and you're doing a lot of shifting and you're letting go of a lot of patterns, chances are you'll kind of feel a stagnancy. This is just a recalibration period. This is something you want to discern. Am I recalibrating from a lot of work that I've done, or do I really feel like I'm stuck? If you feel like you're stuck, that's time that you want to pick up momentum and you would want to get into a group call or an individual call that is maybe a bit more advanced where the resonance is just a bit higher to kick you into the next level. You need centrifugal force. You actually need enough veracity and velocity going on with your own oscillation and momentum to like move you through that level of density. It's like having enough force to get a rocket off of the ground from zero. The more you oscillate, the faster you kind of vibrate. You're just spinning really, really fast, right? I keep saying this, time slows down. So you're not always going to feel like the buzz of life kind of all the time. When you're in a period of integration, just ask yourself if you're integrating or if you feel like you're stuck. You're going to know if you're stuck. I can tell you that now. Again, that would be the time where you would want to find someone like me or grab a session, and then I would just be able to help you push through that next layer until you can actually move through yourself. But a lot of times a conversation with a friend, re-listening to these meditations, all that stuff will help you move through those edges and just give it a little bit of time. It's not like, you know, bing, all of a sudden you're in this new residence and you're done. You still have to move through the physicality of getting into that next place. So everything happens really fast at spirit level. It takes time for the body to catch up. As I always say, again, so discern if you're just recalibrating or if you're actually hitting a ceiling and you can't get beyond it because there might be some deeper stuff to look at. Like myself right now, I would feel like I'm in a bit of a recalibration plateau period. So I'm just diving into loads and loads of really slow living, self-care and making things from scratch really slowly, getting out into nature and really focusing on slowing myself down physically and then surrendering into where I'm at. When you soften, actually you just resist less, which is what the plateaus typically are. That surrendering and that softening actually helps you move a bit faster. Okay, let's see what is next here. This is a good transition, actually. Where do patterns come from? Patterns come from our epigenetic inheritance, things that our parents lived, our great-grandparents, 5, 6, 7 generations down for thousands of years. We'd have thousands of lives, okay? And they are aggregated. All right. They are propensities for and probabilities for us to behave a certain way. Okay. So think about ChatGPT. ChatGPT became a thing because it took data from all the years the internet has been around up until, from a quantum computing perspective, up until like 2022. Okay. This is what people have been searching for. This is what people have been looking up online, what they've been reading, things like that. Our patterns come from our own database based on our lineage. We also have patterns that are from anything that is associated with all female, okay? So everything that we have as settings, our own global settings, female, ethnicity, origin, place of origin, we have not only our individual aggregated patterns from our lineage, and because we are part of a fractal of God, we have information for the all that is also. So we have those in our records, plus anything that we've added as a setting. So like I said, female, be gender specific. We have all of those patterns, possibilities, probabilities as well that inform who we are, how we're going to navigate and what we're going to do. They are also cultivated from what we learn in our childhood. Okay. Our conditioning, what we have picked up on or scanned as children with our parents, and essentially our behavior. So how are we responding to things which are influenced by all of these records? Okay. This iCloud data that we come in with, plus everything that we have experienced in this incarnation. It's an aggregated set of learning. This is basically machine learning. We're machine learning. Everything that you see happening right now in tech is a reflection of how we work. Some genius didn't just pull that information down, although it can be perceived that way. It is literally the mechanics of physics. It's the mechanics of how reality works that someone is tapping into, translating, and then bringing into form, which is what we're here to do. If you look at yourself as a quantum piezo computer, pretty much a bioelectric quantum piezo computer, everything starts to make a hell of a lot more sense. You realize like this is a geomagnetic, electric, magnetic, dielectricity, torsion reality. It's holographic. It's donut shaped. And there's multiple planes of existence on top of each other. This is essentially what Earth is, that people are going to fight over whether it's flat or round ad infinitum. And I'm like, yeah, and not so much. So I'll do a whole other podcast on that. But essentially your patterns come from a set of information that you've inherited, plus whatever you are perceiving and experiencing in your reality. So it's from conditioning. When a friend or partner does something to hurt our feelings, do our hurt feelings come from a pattern we are running? Yes. Again, think about everything as energy. Everything is energy is carried on frequencies. So if your feelings are hurt, it is accommodating something. Okay. That pattern dings, it hits you, it hits your field, and it actually creates a charge from something that needs to be energetically released. That's why everything is information. Everything is a reflection of each other. If you can get really curious about, that's interesting. Why do I have a response to this? Why do I even care? The smallest thing might set you off. You might just be like, I can't believe I just got pissed off. My mom put the flower in that place versus that place. Why did that just happen? Just these really small things, but you end up unpacking it and you realize that over time, it's just the undermining of your decisions and control and how you feel marginalized within your family system and so on and so forth. And then you can do the healing necessary to dismantle that pattern from your being. So everything is happening for your evolution. So if someone hurt your feelings, you would want to get curious about what pattern is that accommodating? So it's not them, okay? It's their reflection of the pattern that's running in you that needs to be deprogrammed. And you do that by getting curious, you map it in the body, you put your attention and awareness on there. I've talked about this a lot. And then you allow information to come up and see, you could ask yourself too, okay, great, I'm having this reaction, I'm triggered. Where is that in the body? You track it in the body. Ask your highest self or just through intention, what pattern is this accommodating? Take me to the origin of it. Is there anything else I need to know here? And then diffuse it there, i.e. collapse the wave function. This is where it can kind of get a little bit advanced, but I feel like you guys know what I'm talking about. Essentially, you want to find the pattern, track it in the body, and then through intention, will, action, diffuse that pattern. You can listen to some frequency work, any kind of frequency work that's been done, anything from the literally from the super freaky shop, and then use the intention of your intention. Say, use these frequencies to help me deprogram shame. Because yes, those patterns and those sessions on the super freaky shop are kind of, let's say, topic specific, but it's still a frequency that is typically going to benefit you. It's a frequency that has a different perspective than yours. Right? So that is going to help you move through sticky patterns. So that would be my suggestion there. But just understand, again, everything is not necessarily meant to trigger you. It's meant to inform you about stuck energy that's in the body. Is it normal to feel claustrophobic when you really settle into your body? Oh my God, it's such a good question. Yes. Okay. It is not uncommon for you to feel tightness in the throat, to feel tightness in the chest, to feel claustrophobic or uncertain or unsure when you're starting to really come back in your body. However, if you feel claustrophobic, whatever the fuck is in there, you need to kick it out. I claim my body, I am sovereign. Anything that is not for my best benefit, anything that is in my space that does not have permission to be in my space, I command that you leave immediately. And then just through your intention, run your highest expression, your highest light, or your innate and perpetual intelligence, which is basically what we are, through your body. Run pure source through your body, pure source only through your body, and kind of outline your body with that energy, outline your spirit body with that energy, and reclaim it. Because if you're claustrophobic, there could be some really interesting information in there as to what has been in your body this whole time. Technically, if everything is happening all at once, all of our lives, doesn't this mean this is our last incarnation? No, it doesn't. Just because everything is happening all at once, all the time, all of our lives, doesn't mean that we actually are free. Just because we know it, doesn't mean that we can transcend it per se. Again, this is about reclaiming perception, reclaiming perceptual control, and being at a high enough resonance, meaning that you have a certain specific level of awareness where you're not choosing to come back here. You get the gig. The game is up. I understand that reincarnation is a trap in a way. I want to move and traverse beyond the 12D grid. I want to choose expansion in all directions from a place of deep gratitude, like really, really love it, even though it's hell at times. The more you can lean into the human experience and loving the experience and like getting everything you can out of it and leaving everything you can on all the cards on the table while you're here, that frequency is incredibly accelerating because we've all chosen to be here. You disembody and you're in the lower fourth. Okay. And you can't actually, you're just there. Okay. There's nothing to experience. You're just there. You have no body. You just are. Like that moment when you hit your head on your pillow and there's a bit of a nothingness besides your mind shutting down and trying to get quiet, there's nothing happening. You're just kind of aware that nothing is happening. But when you disembody, there's nothing to be aware of. That's why time doesn't exist. So we choose to have a body and incarnate with the options that we have based on the level of awareness we were when we disembodied the life before, so we can have more choice and more opportunity. I know for myself, I would have chosen differently, but I chose perfectly this time to transcend what I needed to transcend, to experience everything, the full human spectrum of everything, in order to leave it all here, to not do this again. Now I feel in this moment, I was like, you know, your girl's done. This is going to be it. Take advantage of it, y'all. This is going to be it for me. And that might change for me. That might change. I was like, no, I would totally come back here again. I love it. Like, even though it's hard, I know that I'm going to have a hell of a lot more choice when I come back and maybe I'll do some things differently. And Earth is such a beautiful experience. Nature is so beautiful. It's also really hard. But having a body is really awesome. It doesn't mean that per se. Again, it is all choice. It just depends on what you do with that choice and then your level of awareness that you were at prior to disembodying or dropping the body. All right, so the last question here that I'll do for this session will be, as empaths, how can we separate ourselves from feeling everything so deeply, especially negative things? So the empath program is really crazy. Essentially has to do with people pleasing and not having boundaries at its worst. At its best, it's an incredible sensory perception ability. So I'll say this. If you're an empath, how can we separate ourselves? You would want to get a session specifically to work on the empath program because chances are it is deeply distorted over time. And it's almost one of those things where I would disengage, like I've had to do this. I disengage the empath program, completely delete it out of the field. And so when I just said that, how do you feel when I just said that? Imagine you not being empathic at all. There's a payoff for empaths being attached to being an empath. And I have a podcast episode on it. Go listen to those. Go listen to the meditation on it. There's a payoff. Empaths typically love to kind of have the victim program running typically also with the background along with the empath program because they love that they can feel things so deeply and then they utilize that to separate themselves. It's a distorted service contract also. So I would delete that altogether. And then I would essentially reinstall the empath program from its highest order, which is to be incredibly perceptive, to have to use this perception and this sense to catalyze your own awakening without it distorting you or destroying you. So I've already done this on several people and it's absolutely helping. But yeah, empaths are usually a Pleiadian type. They come in through the Pleiades. Sometimes they're from the auroras and they have a very, very heightened emotional body. So we want to recalibrate the emotional body as well. So you can start to practice this through intention of just recalibrating your emotional body by emptying it out every night. Like imagine from your xiphoid process, which is that fleshy point at the base of the sternum, and then like 4 to 5 inches below that is essentially the pain body, your liver. Imagine cleaning out your liver every day energetically and seeing how that happens. And then you really have to protect and grid yourself more so because that program is running so deeply. It's very interesting. I'll probably do another series on empaths just because there's so many of you guys out there and I'm sensitive to it because there's some people who have turned off all emotion and then there's some who have it very heightened, which again is just a reflection of how polarized we are, either with abilities and perception and perspective and how separate we are from our truest and authentic fundamental authenticity. Because again, your abilities should not destroy you no matter what they are. All right, y'all, question everything. Be kind to yourself and others, and I will see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Please make sure to leave a review and follow the fun on social media because that's how it works in this world. In the meantime, get your freak on. I'll see you in the next session.